Lord God, thank you for your word. Please help us to understand, to receive, and to live out. For your name's sake, amen. Amen. Please sit down. Earlier in the summer, we preached through one of the more straightforward books of the Bible, Mark's Gospel. Today we start a short series in one of the less straightforward books of the Bible, the book of Revelation. And we're going to look over these 4 weeks of August at chapters 8 to 11, a chapter at a time. Because chapters 8 to 11 are one of the scenes in this series of scenes in the book of Revelation. Can you see, maybe you would turn in your Bibles. If you've got a church Bible there, then the New Testament, page 271, right near the back. Just at the bottom of page 271, you'll see the start of chapter 8. And in 8, verse 1, the previous scene ends. There have been seven seals in the previous scene, and it says in 8 verse 1, when the Lamb opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. That's the end of a scene in Revelation. And in 8 verse 2, the new scene starts. And I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and seven trumpets were given to them. So seven messengers given seven trumpets. Now, the book of Revelation works in picture language. It's called apocalyptic. And the best approach with pictures is first to stand back and try and understand the big picture, and only then to look at the detail. One of the mistakes we make with the book of Revelation, I think, is getting hung up on little bits of detail when we haven't taken in the full big picture. So let's stand back and look at this big picture, seven trumpets, as it's put before us from Revelation chapter 8. Can you see in verse 6, it refers to the big picture again. Now the seven angels who had the seven trumpets made ready to blow them. So here's the action of the picture. Maybe this is a picture of a jazz band. Trumpets playing together for people's enjoyment. Well, as you read on, you get the feeling very quickly this isn't a picture like that. One, it's not enjoyable things that are being described on the whole. And two, the trumpets are being sounded one at a time, not being played together. So this is disturbing consecutive trumpet blasts. Can you see? You get a feel of it in the first one, in verse 7. The first angel blew his trumpet, and there came hail and fire mixed with blood, and they were hurled to the earth. And a third of the earth was burned up, and a third of the trees were burned up, and all green grass was burned up. Thunderstorms, uncontrollable fires. Actually, it's the sort of thing we see in our news every now and then, often at the height of summer, in whichever hemisphere is suffering some sort of major heat wave. Like in Australia a couple of winters ago, where dozens of people lost their lives in large and terrible firestorms. So this is not a jazz band playing for enjoyment. It's a warning blast. Can you see? And it goes on to describe four types of natural disaster. Can you see in 8 and 9? Second angel blew his trumpet, something like a great mountain burning with fire, was thrown into the sea. A third of the sea became blood, a third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. So this too is some sort of large natural disaster. It sounds like a phenomenal volcanic eruption which becomes a giant tsunami. And verses 10 and 11, third angel blew his trumpet, great star fell from heaven, blazing like a torch, and it fell on a third of the rivers and on the springs of water. The name of the star is Wormwood or Bitterness. A third of the waters became wormwood, and many died from the water because it was made bitter. Sounds like some sort of cataclysmic asteroid or comet hitting planet Earth, which then causes environmental disaster on a large scale. And then, verse 12, some sort of extended winter because of it. Verse 12, the fourth angel blew his trumpet, and a third of the sun was struck, a third of the moon, a third of the stars, so that a third of their light was darkened, a third of the day was kept from shining, and likewise the night. Now, if we were describing these warnings, this sort of warning system, we might describe seven alarms, because we don't use trumpets for warnings anymore, do we? We might talk about the seven sirens, like the tsunami warning system that's now been put in parts of Asia along the coasts of the Indian Ocean. But they had trumpets signifying seven warnings, big warnings. And these warnings were of the nature that they were big enough to affect enough of the world to be noticed by everyone. I think that's the nature of a good warning, and it's noticed by everyone. And that's the significance, I think, of the use of a third. You know where it says a third of the sea and a third of the earth and a third of the stars. It's not a mathematical preciseness, but it's a symbolic way of saying that these natural disasters will have a worldwide impact because they'll be big enough that everyone notices them. Like the Indonesian tsunami, which spread to other Asian countries and was felt around the world in the tragic loss of so many people. Significant natural disasters are very significant and are noticed by everyone. But if they're significant, what do they signify? And the book of Revelation answers that question by saying, warnings. Now, we'll see next week that these warnings are warnings about even worse things which will happen in the future, but we'll leave that till next week. And now, this message might seem strange to our Western ears and our rather sophisticated, cynical, brash minds. And we might find ourselves asking, does Jesus suggest destructive natural phenomena are to be seen as warnings? I don't think so, you might say, but think again. And as you're thinking, just have a look at Mark chapter 13, verse 7. Shout out the page if you get there first. 51. Thank you very much. So, here in these first verses of chapter 13, Jesus is giving warnings about the present age and the future to his followers. And by verse 7, he says, "When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place, but the end is still to come. For nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom." So that's sort of warfare. "Then there will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. This is but the beginning of the birth pangs." So Jesus describes natural disaster in terms of birth pangs. Now, I'm not an expert on those sort of things, but I understand them to be the first contractions which tell a woman maybe it's time to get to hospital, because this pain will probably get a lot worse, sometime soonish, and you need help. Warnings, says Jesus. Earthquakes and famines are to be seen as like warnings, isn't he saying? And we need warnings, don't we? I read of a young woman just this week in the paper who didn't realize she was pregnant until 9 months in, she got a really bad stomach ache. Her mum took her to hospital, and A&E passed her on to maternity. And out came a baby. We need birth pangs to warn us of dangers to come from which we need to be saved, and also to point us to the promise of great joy afterwards. That's the nature of birth pangs, isn't it? That's how Jesus describes our consideration of natural disasters in this age. We need sirens and alarms. If we didn't have fire alarms, many more people would perish in fires. If we didn't have ambulance sirens, many more people would perish on the roads or in the back of ambulances. We need warnings. And, says the book of Revelation, the world needs these warnings. Significant natural disasters are the harbinger of a much greater crisis for our earth, for which we need to be ready in order that we might seek help, salvation, and to receive the promise of great joy to come. These disasters, terrible though they are to be seen as a help, and we need help to get ready for what is to come. Without the warnings, we wouldn't get ready. That's how we are, isn't it? So going back to the book of Revelation, page 271, these warnings are painted as being from the hand of God, from the throne of heaven, to tell us there will be an end and to help us get ready. Just look at the verses of chapter 8 we haven't considered yet, verses 3, 4, and 5. So the seven angels who stand before God, this is right at the throne of heaven, are given seven trumpets, verse 2. Then, verse 3, another angel with a golden censer came and stood at the altar. He was given a great quantity of incense to offer with the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar that is before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints rose before God from the hand of the angel. Then the angel took the censer and filled it with fire from the altar and threw it on the earth, and there were peals of thunder, rumblings, flashes of lightning, and an earthquake. So what is it that causes the natural disaster? Well, let's unpack it gradually. There's worship going on at an altar. If it's an altar, who's been sacrificed? Who is being sacrificed? Well, it looks like the saints, many Christians, have been killed. And it was one of the difficult aspects of the first century AD to which the book of Revelation was written, that so many Christians were persecuted and killed just because of their faith. Good people thrown to the lions or crucified or whatever. You know, in the 21st century AD, there is immeasurably more persecution and killing of Christians going on for no good reason. By people of violence. Those persecuted people are praying to God. And part of God's answer to them is this: I'm not doing nothing. I see your plight, and I want to reassure you that all of this will come to an end one day. And I'm giving warnings of the end for everyone. So fire from the altar is thrown down to earth, and thunder, lightnings, earthquake, and so-called natural disasters are described as being from the hand of God, as warnings. Because we are not to believe in a God who stands by powerless while natural disasters happen, which is how some people seem to conceive the picture. The book of Revelation gives us a different picture, that God has made earth like this for a reason. The intrinsic processes of dynamic renewal in planet Earth are also alongside the provision of warnings. Are we good at taking notice of warnings, or do we poo-poo them? Surely, warnings are a help. And knowing that the Lord is someone who is committed to giving warnings, significant warnings, read the sign, is a comfort and an encouragement, as well as a relief to our suffering, persecuted brothers and sisters in Christ as we look to the future in this age. Revelation chapter 9, next week. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you that warnings are a good thing, and that you are good. And we pray, Lord, that we and all the people on this planet may look to you and hear your warnings. Amen.